Well, praise God. First of all, grateful that I'm home in one piece. I got a chance to go skiing today. I didn't spend as much time as I wanted to because I promised fate that I was going to be here. And so I gave up my skiing to be here, Faith. You owe me. Yes, ma'am. Okay, there's a question being asked online. The question is, I'm so freaking tired of that weight. I'm so on the edge to give up. I want to experience sex so badly nowadays. I don't think wait for marriage is still exists. I'm not sure God sees my struggles. Wow. That's real, man. That's real. But let me, I wanted to ask you the question this way. I wanted to ask you the question from this vantage point. Why? Why? What is the big deal with waiting? Give me some whys. Okay? So, is that good or bad? She says everybody's doing it. Is that good or bad? Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. God has a wait because God has a bigger payoff for us. All right. There's a bigger payoff. Okay. Why? Why?
Because my body is telling me I need it.
Okay. So if my body is telling me I need it, why do I need to wait? Why don't I just go? Go with what my body is saying. Why do I need to wait? Why? Why is it important to wait? What difference does it make?
STDs.
All right. We're getting practical now.
Pregnancy.
All right. Practical.
Emotional attachment.
Emotional attachment.
Okay.
Come on now.
I mean, mental peace also.
Mental peace or stress.
Yeah.
Or reducing or eliminating stress. All right. So that's some practical stuff. That's some practical, you know, cutting to the chase kind of stuff. Anybody else answering the question of why? Anybody, anything else to add to that? I mean, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. From a practical standpoint,
God understood, God knew
that sex was more than sex. He created it to be more than sex. So, what is the deeper thing that comes with it? What is the deeper thing? Somebody say connection. I heard you whisper connection. All right? So you connect with this person. You connect with this person at an emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual level. All right? Because this thing is joining you to another human being like nothing else can. Come on. Give her a mic.
The Word of God says that when he was speaking, I think it is in the New Testament, they talk about connecting yourself to another person is carrying that person over to the other person. Mm-hmm. So every time you connect yourself to one person, then that person is then connected, then you connect yourself to the next person, then it becomes connecting. And that is not what you want as a child of God.
All right. I mean, that's Paul, the Apostle Paul is the one who says, know you not that essentially when you sleep with a prostitute, you become one with that prostitute. You become one with that person. In his discourse to discourage the Corinthians from sleeping around, he said, when you sleep with this person, you become one with that prostitute. So oneness. So what happens if you sleep around with 5 people or 10 people and you're one with those 10 people? There's somebody else who just put a question here. And she said, or he said, I have a sad life. because of lack of companionship, just because I turned people away, they wanted to have sex in a term of having a relationship. They wanted sex as a part of the relationship, and I said no, and they walked away. So the question then becomes, is that a valuable person? Is that a valuable relationship? Is that a relationship where somebody was about to take advantage of you? And would you sell yourself that short? Would you say, I sleep with you just to prevent you from leaving me? Because if that's what it takes, then you really never had the person in the first place. That relationship was never authentic. It was never genuine in the first place. It was a relationship set up to use you. And your pain would be worse today than at any other time, because you would have given yourself to this person expecting something in return. And if they did not give that to you, what would have happened? You would have been emotionally bereft, barren, dried, parched. Okay, now this is what I want you to get. And I'm going to take you to an Old Testament passage. Deuteronomy chapter 22, I believe it is, verse 15. All right, because this one here is kind of a good one. Deuteronomy chapter 22, and go down to verse 15. Verse 13. Deuteronomy 22, verse 13. All right, so this is how serious God was about this thing. This is how serious it is. I want you to get this. This thing of being a virgin. And by the way, you know, the Bible speaks of virginity differently. Even though God values virginity of men and women, and we as men must value virginity the same way we speak of women valuing virginity. Did I make that clear? So my brother, don't allow anybody to punk you just because you say, you know, I ain't sleeping around, man. Don't allow anybody to make you feel bad, make you feel less than a man, call you gay or whatever. You got to believe in who you are and know who you are and be confident in who you are and not allow peer pressure to force you to do something that you know you have no business doing, not prepared to do, and not prepared for the consequences that come with it. Okay? And there are consequences. All right? So Deuteronomy chapter 22, just one of those chapters that kind of give you some craziness about how serious this was. Deuteronomy chapter, wait a minute, hold on. Where is it? There it is. Okay. All right. There we go. Thou shalt make thee fringe upon thy four corners of the earth, wherefore thou coverest thyself. If any man, that's the one I'm looking for. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and and give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name about her, if he dogs out her name, he said that she was a whole bit. I mean, she wasn't right before. You understand what I'm saying? If he marries her and then says, you know, she wasn't all that, she wasn't a virgin when I got her, and bring an evil name against her and say, I took this woman when I came to her and found her not a maid or not a virgin. Next verse. Then watch this. This is serious business now. Then, what everybody? And her mother, what? Bring the tokens of damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, watch it, because he's going to clarify the damsel's virginity. How do you validate her virginity? I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. Next verse. And lo, he had given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet, what? These are what, everybody? The tokens of her virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Come on now. So on honeymoon night, they had, I know it is. In our society, it's disgusting. But on honeymoon night, it wasn't just about you having a good time. There was validation of her virginity on honeymoon night. Okay? And the parents had a right to collect the evidence and hold it. So in case you dogged out their daughter, they could bring it to the church and say, whoop, there it is. They dogging out my child, but here's the evidence of her virginity. All right? So this is very serious business. Now, look at the consequences. All right? So, And the elders of that city shall take that man, if he lying about your daughter, and they shall put a whooping on his tail. You get it? You dogged out the daughter, the elders of the church shall whoop his hind parts. Right? Now, next verse. And they shall amince him in an hut. So not only does he get whooped, he got to pay money. Because he has dogged out her name. And God says this is a virgin, not just a virgin of the Father, but a virgin of Israel. He has despised and disrespected the name of one of the daughters of Israel. And on top of that, the text says, not only does he get whooped and have to pay money, but he can't leave her. She shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all the days of his life. Come on now. So you dog her out, you get whooped, you pay money, and you're still stuck. Now, watch this. The text says, but if this thing be true, and the tokens of her virginity be not found for the damsel, what happened? Next verse. Next verse. Then shall they bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and what? Shall stone her with stones, and she shall die, because she hath wrought folly on Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil from among you. That's seriousness, isn't it? Okay, now next verse. If any man be found, now the Deuteronomy chapter 22 kind of spells out some crazy stuff about sleeping around, all right, and rape, and whether the rape is in the city or in the country. Watch this. And if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then shall both of them die. So adultery, you're dead. Both of y'all dead. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in a city and lie with her. So if you engage, watch this. If you engage to marry somebody, if you're a woman engaged to marry somebody, and somebody sleeps with your wife to be, all right, then, and it's in the city, if it's in Orange, this is what the text says. Next line. All right. Next line. Then shall they bring them both out to the gate of that city, and they shall be stoned. You shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. So shalt thou put evil away from you. Next verse. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the what?
The field.
And the man force her, and she lie with him, then the man only that lay with her shall die. That's rape. All right. So the Bible is, the Old Testament is very harsh about rape and adultery. Come on now. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. In other words, the damsel may have screamed out in the field and nobody heard her because they were in the bushes. Are you with me? Found on the field, the betrothed damsel cried, there was none to save her. If a man find the damsel that's a virgin, watch this. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, watch this. Next line. Then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father, what everybody?
50 shekels.
And she shall be. Because he had humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife. Now, that's a whole other story. So, God says, you sleep with a woman. Essentially, you sleep with a woman. You push yourself upon a woman that was a virgin. She's your wife. All of a sudden, you got a wife. There ain't no hit it and quit it. There's no, you know, one night stand. None of that. You married. Now, what is the message God is trying to give about joining with another person sexually? Two central messages. If you miss everything else, don't miss this. God sees sex as a lifetime commitment. Sex is the validating of the commitment. Why? Because it involves a covenant. As a matter of fact, when you really technically read some of the Old Testament passages, when the Bible says, for instance, David took her as his wife. When you read the story of David, the Bible says David took her to be his wife. He didn't go before a pastor necessarily and say, I do, I take thee, you know, for to have and to hold forever. No! They agreed and they slept together. And the sleeping together was the validation of eternal commitment. So, extremely important to see sex as not just an act, but a commitment that I'm making to another human being. I'm giving this person the most personal, private part of myself. There's nothing more personal and private than what I'm giving you. Have you ever wondered, and this is kind of weird, but think about this. Have you ever wondered, why are the sex organs where they are? You can't get more private and personal than that. Do you get what I'm saying? That there's nothing more private and personal than that. And when you give that away, you're saying, I'm committing this most personal and private part of myself to you eternally. So once you give it away, ain't no taking it back. So that's why God says, once you do it, you wife and husband. And if you do it and you're married to somebody else, God says, eliminate you. Why? Because the second lesson God is trying to teach is the act of sex and the commitment that goes with it is a symbol of the relationship between me and my people. Oh God. Oh God. So God said, you cheating on me? You cheating on me? Have you ever wondered why over and over and over again? You remember the story of Hosea and Gomer? And God said to Hosea, go get your daughter of the harlots, because my children, the children of Israel, have committed whoredoms. They've been prostituting themselves. So I want you to get Gomer, and what you and Gomer go through will be a reflection of my messed up relationship with Israel. Just like Israel been cheating on me, Gomer will be cheating on Hosea. So God says, this thing is deeper than just an act. The spiritual symbolism is, you are joined to me and I am joined to you in watch this word, in everlasting covenant. Now the word covenant is a powerful word. The word covenant means to cut. The Hebrew word is the word berit. It means to cut. So you remember in the old cowboy Indian movies? Yeah. Anybody remember Outlaw Josie Wales? Come on now. y'all never watch Outlaw Josie Wales? Clint Eastwood? The Sitting Bull? The Indian? They cut each other's hand. Josie Wales cut his hand. Sitting Bull cut his hand, and they join blood. And they establish a covenant. They had an agreement. Okay? The idea of to cut a covenant means that we join blood. There's the exchange of life blood. That's why the Old Testament sacrifices. That's why Christ died. That's why the act of circumcision. All of those symbols of covenant. There's no covenant without blood or fluid. So guess what happens in sex? Why you think there's AIDS and all these other diseases? Because you've exchanged blood. The fluids that you exchange are a symbol of a covenant that you sign. So can you imagine going around with 10 people, you got covenants with 10 people, and you're wondering why they stalking you? Why are you blowing up my phone? Why are you blowing up my phone? You stalking me now. I didn't make no commitments. Yes, you did. Once you went down that road, you established a covenant. And you have given the person license to stalk you. You follow what I'm saying? That's the depth of this thing. And so God's ideal from creation's dawn. One man with one woman. Now, many of us blew it. Many of us disobeyed. Come on, somebody. And you look at your life and you say, man. You know. The other thing God did not want to happen is, God did not want you to get married and when you are sleeping with your spouse, you're thinking about somebody else. Watch this. To whoever was watching on listening on video, if you're watching online, I'm guaranteeing you this. If you're watching me online, I'm guaranteeing you this. If you don't have sex till you get married, you have nothing to compare it with. You can learn together. You can grow together. You can explore together. But if you with some guy who can swing off the chandeliers and flip upside down. All right. And you married Brother Joe from the church. Can I get a witness, somebody? And you, in your mind, you would brought Joe because he's a good man, but chandelier flipper is on your mind. You feel me? So in a way, what ends up happening is that you commit mental and spiritual adultery. Because you're sleeping with brought Joe, but you think about chandeliers. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. That was never God's intent. God's intent was for one man and one woman to start a journey together, join a covenant life in a covenant relationship, and grow in that experience. If you didn't do that, don't walk around feeling bad. Let it go. Confess your sins. Put it in the hand of God. Know that your Heavenly Father loves you so much that He'd give you a fresh start. But make up your mind today that you will not go back down the same road until you say, I do. Guess what, folks? Everybody gets tempted. I said, everybody gets tempted. Come on, I'm talking to you. I said, everybody gets tempted. I said, everybody gets tempted. I get tempted. Come on, let's be real. Come on now. I'm a man. I've not yet attained. I'm pressing towards the mark. And I'm sure you've heard of pastors who not only got tempted but yielded. Praise God, by the grace of God, I've been holding on to Renee for 30 years faithfully. Amen. Only by the grace of God. Y'all didn't hear me. Amen. Because I got more God in me than flesh in me. Yes. And that's what it's going to take. Is to be filled up with more of God and more of the spirit than of the flesh. Carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Come on, somebody. And I claim the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. And it's the only thing that gives me the victory every day. If I don't have that, I'm a dead man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's only the Holy Spirit. So come on, let's stand on our feet and pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to keep us, to strengthen us, to uphold us, to sustain us. God, sometimes the journey is rough. Sometimes the temptation is great. But we thank you that so many times you intercept us, our foolishness, our bad decisions, or even our attempts to make bad decisions. Sometimes, God, it's wonderful when you stand in the way. Car won't start. hotel is full. Phone won't work. No charger around. God, you're standing in the way. Thank you that time after time you stand in the way. Because you love us more than we love ourselves. And you see the mess we're about to make. And you intercept us. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Our Lord, be our strength, our rock and our fortress, our hiding place, our very present help in the time of trouble. God, before we ever stumble and fall and make a mess, hold us in the palm of your hand. See us through every storm, every test, and may we know that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.